Yes.
Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. I just want to, as we're coming up on the Christmas season, things are going to be changing fast and furious, but we're here to hopefully help give you some information and also entertain you. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Let's see, where are we going to go first?
We haven't had Fannygate for a while.
Time for Fannygate. Fanny has been a bad girl. Judicial Watch, whose job is to sue the government when they violate government
policies.
Statutes,
yeah.
Statutes, laws, quite often FOIA requests where the government refuses to give us information that entitled to.
They are working on our behalf. They will accept donations.
Judicial Watch, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
of course.
Yes.
Tom Fitton is the guy that you hear from Judicial Watch. And they sued Fannie Willis, the DA down in Fulton County, Georgia, who's got the RICO case against Trump. They sued her under the Open Records Act for any records that she had to do with showing that her office had contact with Jack Smith, the prosecutor of the Mar-a-Lago raid, and or the J6 committee. They served it on her. She had 30 days to answer. She never answered. She didn't even bother to answer and say, no, I don't have any. She just didn't answer, so she lost by default. So now the judge took them long enough. She was served in April. So now she's going to have to pay attorney costs for Judicial Watch, so there's some money the taxpayers in Georgia could have saved. At any rate, she's been ordered to turn it over, anything she's got that's responsive to that request, within 5 days. And one of the reasons Judicial Watch won their default is because they had already gotten hold of a letter that she wrote to the chairman of the J6 committee. Which
debunked her claim that there was no communication.
Yeah, she wrote a letter saying, we'd like to meet with you about my Trump case, and we will be happy to come to Washington and meet with you. As it turns out, they made three trips up there. In fact, the boyfriend testified again about it when he was called up there recently to testify in front of the Republican subcommittee, even though all he could remember was, I don't remember. I don't have any notes.
And I'm sure they filed an expense report for the travel to go up.
Yeah, I mean, if that's all they have, they have something. But she just acts like these laws don't apply to her. You know, little Miss Queen Fanny there, which I find extremely offensive as a taxpayer, as a citizen, as a former prosecutor. She's supposed to show respect for the law. The law is you turn that stuff over when you're asked, or you at least answer a lawsuit when you've been served.
And here she's declaring that she's enforcing the law.
Right. Except on herself,
yeah.
Right.
And the sad part about it is that In spite of all her shenanigans, she gets reelected.
Yeah.
By people in Fulton County. She's the county DA, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she gets reelected.
The city of Atlanta.
The people in Fulton County, the city of Atlanta, her behavior is perfectly acceptable to them.
Well, of course. The guy that ran against her was not impressive. And he'd run against her before. So, you know, he had that odor of loserism clinging about him. But, you know, I read an article sometime in the past week about Fanny where a friend of hers, unnamed, was talking about how big her ego is. Said one reason she didn't answer this was her ego. Like, how dare you question me? That she had brought the RICO case against President as part of her ego because she has... She wants to advance beyond DA and become, you know, make her way up the ladder. Of course, they said maybe one day she'll be a law school professor. And I thought, well, that's not very high up the ladder, but okay, at any rate. Um, And he said that she had filed these two RICO cases, because let's not forget the other RICO case was against a bunch of gangbangers. One of them was called Young Thug, his henchman Gunna. And there were a whole bunch of gangbangers. They used their, as evidence, they scoured social media. They used their song lyrics against them. This case had been dragging on for 2 years. It's been very contentious. The judge, the prosecutors would show up and didn't seem to know what they were supposed to be doing, and the judge was constantly chastising them. So if this was a case that she was supposed to make her bones on, she miserably failed because they finally got a verdict after 2 years, and all the case, all the charges were dismissed except one on this guy who was a felon, and they convicted him of felon in possession of a firearm. Whoop, whoop. So she lost that RICO case miserably, as she is going to do with the RICO case against Trump, because, you know, she's tried to cram 10 pounds of crap into a 5-pound bag. It's not going to work.
Well, it seems to me that the RICO case should be brought against her for colluding with Jack Smith and the January 6th committee.
I know.
This seems a little bit like reverse justice.
I know. Well, we'll see what happens, because as I reminded us last week, the hearing in front of the Georgia court on whether or not she should be kicked off the case, because the judge... Remember, the judge found there was a conflict, but she could stay if he went, so he went.
Only he didn't.
So, well, he's off that case. He didn't leave her side, so to speak. But at any rate, that hearing was supposed to take place December 5th, which would be, what, tomorrow?
And we're recording this on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it was summarily dismissed. They just took it off the calendar. They didn't reschedule it. They didn't give a reason for closing it out. And the article I read speculated that perhaps Fannie has told the court through back channels that she's going to be dismissing her RICO case and there's no need to go any further with this. Then I read an article that said maybe the Georgia Supreme Court will dismiss the RICO case because of the constitutional problems, particularly while he's a sitting president. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. As the Fannie Gate reporter, my promise to you is keep a close eye on this and let you know.
We wish you well with that too, Pat. We're glad you took that on.
As long as we're being legal, let's take a minute and talk about the pardon of Hunter Biden.
I have enjoyed watching the Dems beat their breast about the pardon, particularly Chuck Todd, Jake Tapper.
Chuck Schumer won't say anything. He won't even answer reporters' questions.
Now, there was one of the CNN on-camera on-camera persons was talking to and I don't remember the name of the New York State representative who had declared that Biden would never, ever pardon his own son. And so she played the video of him saying, I would never, ever, ever, ever do this. And then she said, how do you feel now? Well, he now is trying to justify it because these were all improper and made up charges that came against Hunter Biden.
Well, did anybody around this table believe that he would not pardon his son?
Not for one second.
I never believed that
story.
Not
for a second.
It was such a bald-faced lie. I mean, Biden lies all the time anyway, so it just fits into a pattern.
But
there's no way that he would have left office with his son hanging out to dry with these cases, which he got his son involved in this stuff.
Well, not only
that. He profited
that,
from it.
If he didn't pardon his son, this is like having a string on a sweater that someone has knitted for you. If you tug on that string really good, the whole sweater unravels.
Mm-hmm.
And President Biden, and he is currently president. needs this case to go away because the amount of money that went to his brother and himself and his children and his grandchildren is astronomical. And he needs this whole situation to go away. Now, I don't think pardoning Hunter is going to make it go away. I think it made it worse. But again, this is Hunter's father.
Well, we do know that the laptop will not go away.
The laptop won't go away.
And now, we also know that apparently the discussion now is he is no longer protected using the Fifth Amendment for not speaking.
That's what the legal authorities all seem to have agreed on. Another thing that they're bringing up that I think is very interesting is whether or not this pardon is outside of the presidential pardon power, because it's for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's for stuff that he wasn't charged with.
And it's also for involvement with foreign nations, right?
Yeah. So for anything you may have done for a 10-year, 11-year period, I hereby pardon you.
You're only supposed to be pardoned for convictions that you have?
You have to have done what you're being pardoned for.
Yes.
Is our understanding of the pardon power, because this was the one thing left over from kings and queens that our founding fathers left in the Constitution. Because the king or the queen was the ultimate authority in their nations, only they had the power to forgive. So they could do mercy. So they left that to our president. But obviously, you can't forgive somebody for something they haven't done.
Or something that they might do in the future. You know, it kind of implies almost, yeah. Well,
or might have done in the past.
For what you did in the past, no matter what it was, you're forgiven. And then it kind of projects in the future. Anything you do in the future, that's fine too.
There's also a number of sources that have come forward and said there was child porn on that laptop. There is no statute of limitations on child pornography, is there?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't believe there is. And certainly that should be looked into. If that is there, then I don't care what the pardon says. He needs to be charged.
Now, I have a question. Can the president, when he grants a pardon, is that only for federal crimes,
mm-hmm.
or can he pardon someone for state crimes?
My understanding is federal.
The president only has authority over federal cases.
Right.
So
that
Trump
makes
couldn't.
Sense.
Trump couldn't pardon any of the Giuliani. Wasn't he convicted down there?
He can't
Fulton
do the
County.
State.
He can't.
He can't
so
do
Trump
the state
could
cases.
Not pardon him.
You know. No. And there's a question whether or not he can pardon himself.
For the same reason, I guess.
Speaking of Biden, because we may also see him pardon his brother.
Yeah.
Because his brother is heavily into the Burisma and all of that stuff.
And everything that
but
went
like,
on.
But like Mary was implying, this does not stop the Republican Congress from investigating and gathering information about what transpired. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes, they can still gather information.
Yeah, and it wouldn't stop state crimes, except the feds have slow-walked all of the stuff on Hunter so the statute of limitations have told.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in Newbern.
Thank you for staying with us and listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, we ask you to go out and visit them and just tell them that you've heard them on the CCTA wake-up call. Pat, you want to continue on?
Yeah, I'm still not browbeating about this pardon. because Charlemagne the God, the black radio guy that was so hostile to Trump, he's not a Biden fan either. And his take on the pardon was, all right, Democrats, don't ever come out here and act morally superior to anybody because he lied. Biden said he wasn't gonna pardon him, and he pardoned him. That's a lie. And you can't dress it up as anything else. And he had a caller call into his radio show and say, but Biden has spent 40 years serving the people. And Charlemagne said, no, he didn't. And he pointed to those crime laws that Biden was involved with that had the supermax minimums and all and all that stuff.
Biden was also the one who's responsible for us paying income tax on Social Security. He was one of the sponsors of that bill.
Oh, that's nice. Any rate, Adam Schiff, if you recall, we were talking about pardons back when Trump was president the first time, talking about whether he was going to pardon himself or whether he could pardon anybody Mueller was going after, et cetera, et cetera. And Adam Schiff, our favorite scourge, said that any pardons like that Trump were to issue could be impeachable offenses because they would be issued in order to obstruct justice. And what we were talking about before the break, the effect of this pardon for Hunter on the investigation of crimes that took place during that 11-year period, the whole purpose is to obstruct justice so that that period of time won't be investigated. For example, we've still got his brother who's up to it in his eyebrows. If he were to pardon his brother, the point of that pardon is to obstruct justice. And Schiff says that's an impeachable offense. And as the Democrats have already shown, we can impeach you after you leave office. Just because he's leaving office doesn't mean we can't impeach
him. No, you set the precedent. Yeah.
Well, I think the irony here is because Hunter will be pardoned, he loses his Fifth Amendment right because the Fifth Amendment says I can't answer that because it will incriminate
myself.
Well, he can't be incriminated by himself. So if Congress calls him before he has to appear or else he gets charged with contempt. If he refuses to answer, he gets charged with contempt.
If he gives wrong answers, that's the perjury is a felony.
I think that he's been put in a more difficult position by being pardoned than he might have been in otherwise.
While, you know, it's really would be gratifying to see the Biden crime family pay the penalty for their
activities, transgressions,
crime, all of the above. I have some concerns that there's so much going on in the world today. There's so much that Trump needs to focus on his administration to solve these immediate problems. I just hope this would not present a distraction that interferes with that. I mean, I'm all for holding people accountable. I'm all for justice. But I just hope that they can, you know, what is this? See, chew gum and
walk at the same time.
And chew gum.
Yeah, I hope they can do both. But I just hope that going down that does not interfere with these major issues facing this country.
And by the way, Alan, I think I also want to add, not only walk and chew gum, but also develop a budget rather than a continuing resolution.
Yeah. Well, that Congress should be focused on.
We haven't even mentioned the fact that Biden's reason given for the pardon was that he thinks that the Department of Justice has been politicized.
That brings me back.
But who would know better than him?
That's right.
If anyone remembers, I think it was Rush Limbaugh.
And he blamed it on Trump.
Who used to say, listen to what they're accusing us of, because that's what they're doing.
Right.
And to say that the Department of Justice has been politicized against Hunter Biden is hilarious. And now they're blaming it. Well, that first plea deal fell through. Well, that first plea deal was ridiculous.
I know, it was so bad the judge wouldn't even take it.
Yeah, so I am sure that the plan to pardon Hunter goes back more than a few weeks.
So there's Biden coming out and saying, my Justice Department, Department of Justice, and my Attorney General that I appointed,
my FBI,
and my FBI, and all these, they were corrupt and politicized. And all the time, he's saying, you know, it's obvious to a lot of people that's been going on, but now he uses that from his own people he's supposed to control. It's so.
Yeah, I know when Trump said it, when it was true, and they're clean as a whistle, and now all of a sudden they're politicized and weaponized.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the former head of the FBI went off to teach a moral
Call me.
Yeah, an ethics course.
Ethics course, Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like Lori Lightfoot, the former mayor of Chicago, is at one of the Ivies teaching a course on how to run a city. Brother.
Not to run a city.
Well, yeah. Her only claim to fame is that the guy that got elected after her is even worse.
Yeah.
Yes, he's raising all kinds of heck. He says, I was elected to transform this city, and I'm going to do it whether you're with me or not.
And before we go off in that direction, Alan, I know you wanted to talk about the Penny case in New York City.
Yeah, Bob, this is real timely. It's timely as we're recording this episode of our broadcast, because hopefully by the weekend when it's broadcast on the air, their situation may have already been resolved. But we're still waiting, as we speak, for the jury to come out and announce their decision. But when you look at this case, it is really, really disturbing.
The basis of the case
being whether an individual who's in a public situation and sees other people being threatened can step up and do the manly thing and protect those people in that enclosed environment inside a subway car. But the irony of it is that I believe New York State, Pat, you may know better than I about this, since you're our resident attorney, I believe New York State's the only state that has this retreat law where you are required, if you feel threatened, you are required to withdraw. You cannot hold your ground or stand up for yourself. Or if you do, you're subject to this being prosecuted for not withdrawing and running, you know, running away from the threat.
It wouldn't surprise me if New York had passed such a law to negate the Castle Doctrine, which is if somebody attacks you, you know, in your home, with somebody attacks you with deadly force, you have the right to return that with the same level of force. So if you're attacked with deadly force, you can defend yourself with deadly force. A lot of people have opined that the whole point of this Daniel Penny case, because it is a Soros DA prosecuting it, is to try to crack that assumption in the public's mind and in the law that we all have a right to self-defense and to defense of others. With no self-defense, the government, you're hopeless, you're helpless.
Yes, and not only can you not do it, they prosecute you for doing it. So you could go to jail for trying to protect yourself. There's, and it's interesting that the mayor of New York City, mm-hmm. he came out, I think it was today. And came out and actually presented a defense for Daniel Penny, was saying that in that situation, that the risk to people is so legitimate that somebody who steps up that should be recognized as doing the right thing, not persecuted.
I liked his language. He said, Daniel Penny did what we as a city should have done.
Yeah, I heard that.
Wow.
There's another part of this, too. Before the autopsy report was released, and the autopsy report said that the man that died had serious drugs in his system, and he also had a medical condition that made him more vulnerable than he might have been.
Are you talking about George Floyd or the guy Daniel Penny?
Neely.
The guy that Neely. The prosecuting attorney was already saying that he died because of the chokehold. That's not what the autopsy said. And this is the same situation that we saw.
Really? Because my understanding was the official one said, yeah, the chokehold killed him. And then Daniel Penny introduced another autopsy by another guy who said it was the drugs and the sickle cell anemia.
The whole combination.
I believe the first autopsy didn't even mention the drugs. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But there were contributing causes.
There's conflicting autopsy reports.
And the other part, this attorney general, this judge, let a murderer off with very little sentence, calling it reparational justice. Because the guy who did the murder was black. So we have some questions about the objectivity of the judge.
Well, Daniel Penny's white, so he won't be getting any of that. So don't worry.
That's
about
exactly
it.
My point. That's exactly
won't get any of that sympathy.
Point.
And of course, we're up against that New York City right now. What is it called? A revolving door in the courts.
What,
where
no bail?
They're back on the street in no bail, and they're back on the street before somebody's finished the actual report.
By the way, Alan, there are a lot of states that have that you must retreat. California is one of them. Yeah.
California doesn't surprise me.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call. Thank you for staying with us. Stop in at East 70 Pawn for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.
We're going to continue the show. And again, Pat, you're going to talk
about... Yeah, today's Bee in the Bonnet is Biden's trip to Africa.
When did he go to Africa? Right after the pardon?
Right after the pardon.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't answer questions on his way up the stairs to the plane.
Gee, he had to concentrate. Come on now.
Step by step.
That's right. One step at a time. Small step for mankind. Any rate, he went to Africa. Let's see. Optics. The African leader had to jerk him by the arm to get him to where he was supposed to stand.
I believe he also said he was great. It was nice to be in the city of Angola.
Yeah, he called the country a city. He also said... we are like poor relatives. We come and stay and eat each out of house and home and don't know when to leave. What was the point of that? Just embarrasses us every time he opens his mouth. He fell asleep at the meeting. But what really offended me was the $3 billion he gave them to build their railway, which is, it's like that California super train. They've been building it for years now, right?
The train to nowhere.
He's giving them $3 billion for that, and $1 billion for humanitarian aid because people over there are hungry due to climate change. So we've still got people in North Carolina living in tents, and he's giving Africa $1 billion that we don't have because of climate change, because of drought and food insecurity is what he called it. But that's, you know, climate change. But the $3 billion for this railway, Jesse Waters suggests that the true motives behind Biden's Africa trip, building railways to exploit child labor for the Green New Deal. Over there, they have little children digging out cobalt and something else that they need in EV batteries. And so this train...
The cobalt and the lithium, yes.
Yeah, this train will go to the points where they can pick that up and ship it to the ports for export. So to claim that something that we're doing is self-serving is that, while we're condoning child labor... And claiming that it's a humanitarian effort, to me, is very offensive.
You're not going to announce that Hunter Biden's going to be on the board for the train company, right? That would be more predictable from the Biden. But you know, just what you're talking about, Pat. What's happening on with Biden? What he's doing in the last few weeks? What he just did recently, going to Africa and these other things like approving these attacks into deep inside Russia really brings up an issue we discussed last show was about the long period of time from election to inauguration and how much time it gives a leaving administration to manipulate and do things that otherwise the citizens would not want to be done because they already voted that person in their actions out of office, but they have the ability to persist it. Are you finished talking about the Africa thing?
I'm finished with Africa.
Okay, I just wanted to bring up another issue having to do with a foreign country, and that has to do with my favorite adversary, China. And I recently wrote an article, and by the way, it comes out in the County Compass. Hopefully you may have seen it there. And it's basically about being honest with ourselves about what China represents to this country. And we have numerous examples of things that they do. The fentanyl crisis killing 100,000 plus youth every year in this country. I'm not going to enumerate all of them, but there's several of them. But what really troubles me is what's going on in North Carolina with purchasing farmland. And I researched this a little bit, and I went back to 2010. 2010, there was no Chinese-owned farmland in North Carolina. Zero. Now they own at least 50,000 acres. And most of that land is around our military bases.
Nearby.
Particularly, yes, nearby those military, but particularly what used to be Fort Bragg, now it's Fort Liberty, because they had to politically correct General Bragg's name out of that. But anyway, he was a Confederate general, and that wasn't acceptable anymore. But anyway, it was the House of Representatives actually passed a bill that would restrict the access of China and, I guess, other foreign countries from land around the military bases in North Carolina. Unfortunately, the Senate never took it up. So right now, we don't have any of those restrictions in place. And it really troubles me. Now, in Florida, on the other hand, Governor DeSantis and his supporters, they passed a law that does not allow China to buy any land in Florida, period, anywhere. And I think they can perhaps own up to 2 acres if it's a housing thing or something like that. But nothing that could be used for these nefarious purposes like, you know, setting up communications, launching drones, monitoring troop movements, all these things they can do. And the irony, of course, is that nobody who is not a Chinese, a foreign country cannot own land in China.
Mm-hmm.
So so here we go again. They prevent us from doing something. We, like a bunch of saps, we go along and let them do what they want to our country. It's like sending all these experts and these students and these quasi-students that go to the universities, and they just caught one the other day. It was actually, and they've caught several of them, but it was one the other day, actually spying on our country from the universities. We let all these Chinese in with these student visas. And it's ridiculous. We're just acting like a bunch of morons.
Well, China has responded to our doing that by banning the export of the rare minerals we need for Biden's green energy program.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't do that before, because they don't want us to make batteries.
Mm-hmm.
It competes with their own battery business. So why would they let us do it? Yeah, why wouldn't they ban that?
This is another reason we have to bring manufacturing back to America.
But Alan has hit on something with this farmland, and something that I've been worried about. Bill Gates and I forget who his henchman is, but Bill Gates and some of these climate weirdos have been buying up as much farmland as they can to make sure that we can't raise beef anymore.
Mm-hmm.
China's been buying up farmland rather than buy our farm products after we, you know, raise them. They'll just buy the farmland and make their own.
And there's been a number of, I'm going to say, slaughterhouses and food processing plants that have miraculously had major fires.
Yeah. But I don't think foreigners should be buying farmland. This has nothing to do with military, just the fact of production of food.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if all of a sudden we don't produce enough food to feed Americans because foreigners have bought all our farmland.
And
this is something that needs to be
Yes, looked. Exactly right. And North Carolina, according to the Federal Department of Agriculture, the state of North Carolina is the fifth ranking state with land owned by China. So North Carolina is definitely in the wrong direction and big time. And you mentioned about food production. It's my understanding that China owns a controlling interest in Smithfield Foods.
Oh yeah, I don't buy it anymore.
That's one of the biggest fruit producing companies in the country.
Can't get a good ham anymore because Smithfield is owned by China. If you go to Harris Teeter, almost all their packaged meat is Smithfield.
Yep.
While we're talking about our relationship with other countries, I want to bring up something that's going on right now with France. France is getting ready to reopen Notre Dame. They're having a big reopening thing. It's going to last like 6 months, but it's starting in the next week. They've invited President Trump. I don't know whether or not they have invited President Biden.
They're going. The Bidens are going. Which will be interesting on precedence. Who gets to stand in the front row, so to speak?
Yes, because at one of the last conferences, the head of China got put in the front row, and Biden got put in the back row,
mm-hmm.
which is a definite comment on America's decline.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very interesting to see how the Trumps are treated versus how the Bidens are treated, because Macron is losing popularity. He's about to go. And if he could create an ally with Trump, which I think is highly unlikely, but if he could...
What a weasel.
This would bolster his popularity.
You know, Macron is so... He's so transparent. He's so transparently a weasel. You know, when I don't think I need you, I stab you in the back. And when I think I need you, I'm down on my knees in front of you. Oh, please, 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 won't you be my friend? The article I read said Macron begged Trump to
yes.
come to Notre Dame.
Well, I think what we're seeing is a shift in European countries in their attitude toward America as we change administrations. Because they realize that the Trump administration is not going to be walked all over as the Biden administration has been.
They were paying attention in 2016 to 2020.
Now, the quick question. Has the Trump administration already started? And the reason I say that is because I noticed that there was credit given to Trump for the Israeli Hezbollah temporary truce.
Well, you know, remember when the FBI picked on General Flynn and Jeff Sessions had to recuse himself because they said they were talking during that transition period, they were talking to foreign diplomats, and it's against U.S. law. Today I read an article that said they haven't brought up any of that, even though it appears that Trump is functioning as our present president. Because everybody realizes we don't have one.
We don't, yes.
That is a problem.
There's a void in there. That's
yeah.
right.
It's a power vacuum.
Where are we going to go?
Well, I think when we come back, we need to talk a little bit about that ceasefire.
Talk about that ceasefire. Well, we've got a few other things that we need to talk about. But folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. and they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Mary, you wanted to finish out a topic?
Yes. As Bob mentioned, just as we were leaving, the NATO chief credits Trump with the Israel-Hezbollah ceasefire. That is a very shaky ceasefire, to say the least. And the thing that you need to remember when looking at that is there is a principle in Islam called Hudna, H-U-D-N-A. And what it means very simply is we're going to call a truce while we rearm and get ready to attack you again. And that's exactly what this Israel-Hezbollah ceasefire is. But what Hezbollah has not taken into consideration, or maybe they have, is that the Trump administration takes over January 20th. And they will support Israel to an extent that the Biden administration has not done that. And if I were Hezbollah, I think I would be behaving myself in order to avoid being wiped off the map after January 20th. That's
just working on a new tunnel.
Well, now,
a deeper tunnel.
Well, Trump also, I think this was on the Platform X, he announced something about the American hostages.
Yes, you get them back.
He came out and said that if they're not released by the 20th of January, you're going to have hell to pay in the Middle East. And he didn't say just Hamas. He didn't say, you know, who's holding the hostages. He kind of implied the other areas, Hezbollah, Iran, who knows. But he's making threats. And I think based on his history, he's followed these through. And whether it'll produce anything, I don't know. If you go back, if you remember, go back when Reagan took office, that the Iranians released the hostages they were holding
hours before he took office.
Yeah. There is something to be said for peace through strength. And as I have said before, there are a couple of things that Trump understands that Biden doesn't. Of course, we could debate how much Biden understands right now anyway. But anyway, Trump understands, number one, he understands economic leverage and uses it very well. But he also understands the idea that if I threaten you, I will follow through on that threat. So please pay attention.
You know, we're in a situation right now where this Hezbollah thing, again, Lebanon is actually doing better now that Hezbollah has been targeted for a while. We see that Syria and the terrorists are ready to take over Syria, and
yes,
that may be a good thing. I don't know. And then we look at South Korea. The martial law was invoked for maybe 3 hours or something like that.
And the legislation took it down. The president threatened impeachment.
So there's
and
a lot.
Intelligence was caught by surprise. Why don't we know what's going on in South Korea? We've got a ton of troops and equipment there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of instability all around the world right now. That the instability shouldn't be there, but I know a lot of it is looking forward to Trump to strong arm.
And the people are anticipating that. Like even on the deportation, the border issue, Trump had a conversation with Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, and he also spoke with the Mexican, the lady that's in charge. And they first said, no, we're going to resist all that. Now they're saying, well, we're going to help secure the border, and we're going to, because they don't want the 25% tariffs that Trump is threatening, because he'll do it. And then that's the, like you said, Mary, that's the difference between deterrence. You can't have deterrence if the people, if the person is not believed as being a person that's going to do what they say.
And the president of Mexico has already broken up two caravans.
Yeah, there's a third one forming, so we'll see what she does with that one.
Yes. So, again, he won't take office for another month. And just for the record, we need to pray for his safety.
Well, you know, they give credit to his unpredictability, which is a nod towards this psyop that Joe Rogan has accused the Democrats and the media of obscuring the person that Trump really is as some predictable, liable to go off on a wild tangent. You can't tell what he's going to do. He's crazy. He shouldn't have the nuclear buttons, blah, 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 blah. But I don't see it that way. These other nations, they saw what he did as president the first mm-hmm. time. And when he said he was going to do something, he did it, whether it was killing Soleimani or moving the capital of Israel to Jerusalem, you know, recognizing him. And so they're giving him credit. I read an article that said the reason Iran didn't follow up on its threat to retaliate on Israel for Israel's last retaliation attack on them was because of Trump, that they were afraid of what he would do to Iran when he got in. So we haven't heard anything from the mullahs about attacking Israel.
Do you remember when Reagan, before they went on the air, they were recording something, and he made the comment, the bombing starts in 5 minutes,
yes.
And everybody totally freaked out. This is what we have. We have somebody who may be sane and solid as a rock, but loves to project things that scare the people that need to be scared.
You know, and the situation worldwide, you know, we talk about what's going on in Ukraine and these other countries. When you think back, like in the 50s and 60s, the nuclear threat was between two countries. Now that's no longer the case. You've got North Korea with nuclear weapons, China with nuclear weapons,
Pakistan.
Iran almost has it, Pakistan has it, and Iran.
And India.
So you have more potential risk, because you have more people that could make a decision where they're going to use that mm-hmm. to support what their objectives are. And then, you know, once it starts, there's no stopping it.
And the renegades get the nuclear weapon could be a suitcase-sized nuclear weapon now.
You could have a coup in one of these countries.
Yeah.
And the people who take over could have some... I mean, I don't know. They could have some religious or some sort of real political objective, and they just use the weapons, and they don't care about the consequences.
There was a book written, I believe, in the 1950s or 60s called On the Beach.
I read that book. They made a movie out of it with Fred Astaire
and
Ava Gardner.
It was about a nuclear war that started with Pakistan, and the radiation was spreading around the world and killing everyone. But it was interesting that even back then, the nuclear war wasn't started with Russia and America. It was started with another country. The other thing I want to mention just in passing is, does anybody remember hiding under their desk in case of nuclear war?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did we really think those desks were going to protect us?
Well, I was a little kid. They told us it would. Hello.
But it shows you the extent to which the reality of a nuclear war, the possibility of it, was on people's minds.
Yes.
And people were building bomb shelters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not thinking, well, they come out of their bomb shelter, there won't be anything to come out to. But they were building bomb shelters. And, you know, like you said, I remember as a kid going underneath my desk. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Very good. I'm going to change horses right now. Alan, we know that the Supreme Court today is hearing a case on Tennessee. Tennessee has a law that you're not allowed to prescribe the puberty blockers to kids. And I guess there's apparently 25 states have that kind of law.
Yeah, and I think it also includes, Bob, any sort of surgery, too. This is for underage, I think, I don't know what the cutoff is, 18, 21, something like that. And even with the parents' permission, they can't do it. So, I mean, they can't do it in
that
state at all, which is the way it should be. But anyway, but you're right. And it was the case was being argued today in front of the Supreme Court, is my understanding. It'll be a while, I guess, before we get a
supposedly get a ruling in June.
But like
June.
You say, it impacts a lot of states.
And, one of the arguments that was brought forward, and thank God shot down, is one of the things they use to convince parents to go along with this is to tell them that their children will commit suicide if they don't do this. Well, evidently, one of the lawyers who was arguing to keep this law in place brought out statistics on children who committed suicide transitioned versus non-transitioned, and the rates on the transitioned were higher than the non-transitioned, so that immediately shot down that argument.
And, you know,
I think I read an article that said the lawyers for the pro-transgender side are, in fact, transgender.
Oh.
So this was a first for the Supreme Court.
Well, really, it's a case of the ACLU and the transgenders versus the Hippocratic Oath.
And
do no harm. Okay.
Can I comment quickly on the Pete Hedge, Seth?
Pete Hedge. Yes.
The Democrats and then the media are attacking him as usual, as expected. Anybody that they can get some dirt on, that they can mm-hmm. dig up, they're doing that as usual. And unfortunately, we got some rhino Republicans. I think there's six or seven of them already, mm-hmm. including
Susan
Collins.
Some of them have been persuaded.
Mitch
McConnell. Some of them have been persuaded
and
to vote
Thune,
for him.
The guy that just became the majority leader in the Senate. And so they're appear to be looking to side with the Democrats.
Yeah, now they've added
Trump
he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Well, nobody has substantiated these charges, and it looks like some of the rhinos have been persuaded to vote for him. And the thing that has been held out to them is, you voted for Biden's nominees, the one who stole luggage, the one who did other strange things. A president gets to choose his own cabinet. On December 17th, the CCTA is having its Christmas party. There will be light refreshments, and we will get together and sing Christmas carols and celebrate Christmas. It is a stress buster. You don't have to bring anything. You just have to come and either listen or sing, whichever you prefer. And it will be at 7 o'clock, Stanley Hall, downtown New Bern, and there will be light refreshments, sandwiches, fruit, drinks, that sort of thing. And we will all sing Christmas carols and celebrate the season.
And there will be songbooks.
Yes, there will be songbooks.
We don't have to know the words.
We know all those words.
Okay, you have another minute to fill.
Okay. And we will have the master keyboard skills of Charlie Laferno and the vocal tones of Damon King.
The vocal stylings of Damon King.
Okay. And they will be leading us in the Christmas carols. We did this last year. It was a lot of fun.
It was.
Just show up, get ready to sing or listen. We don't care. The Bible says make a joyful noise. We're capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't say anything about the quality of that noise.
And they're not just holiday songs about winter. They're Christmas carols.
Songs.
They mention the reason for the season.
We're going to celebrate the holidays, and we're going to do it stress-free, because that's the way you should do it.
Right.
Folks, we're going to end the show on that. We appreciate your staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, have a wonderful day. Thank you.